This is Christian Questions.
Stephen Covey once said, "Moral authority comes from following universal and timeless principles like honesty, integrity, treating people with respect." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can contact us at our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
And folks, we're truly glad you've chosen to spend some time with us here on this fine, fine Sunday morning. Good morning, Jonathan. Good to have you back.
Good morning. It's good to be back. Kathy did a wonderful job.
Yeah, she usually does. She usually does. But
absolutely.
You're the man.
So. No.
Yeah, actually, but that's okay. We won't argue about that now. What we're going to do is say, what's on the table for this morning?
All right. Our question this morning is, can you recognize his voice? No, not my voice.
That's right. No, we're not talking about yours, pal.
John 10, verse 3 is our theme text, and that says, "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out."
Okay, so the question, can you recognize his voice? And Jonathan, we're talking about the voice of Jesus, obviously, by that scripture. And we want to take a look at that in the context of our world today. Social media is one oversized voice with a thousand different facets that begs for our attention, our obedience, and our loyalty. Now, as a Christian, walking through this hyped-up mass of messages and glittering folly is not only a challenge, it's our responsibility, because we're supposed to be following only one voice, and that is the voice of Jesus. So how do we find that voice, and how can we be sure that what we think is his voice really is his voice?
You mean all that static and noise and distraction out there could get in the way?
I think that not only there is static and noise and distraction, I think that what ends up happening is there ends up being lots of counterfeits of the voice of Jesus as well. So how do you recognize the real voice of Jesus? And to go through this particular subject matter and this particular question, we're going to be focusing on a very simple parable, a parable of Jesus. And it's going to help us to zero in on what this all can mean for us. So let's go to that parable, John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6.
"Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice."
And there is the key.
"A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. The figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them."
So Jesus, again, speaks in a parable, and it creates a puzzling look on the face of his those listening.
That's right.
Like, what are you talking about?
Exactly.
And so Jesus actually does go on and explain the parable a little bit later. We'll get to that. But this is a parable that seems to be very, very simple. And what we're going to do, Jonathan, is usually we take a parable and we take it, you know, line by line and say, okay, this looks like it means that, and this looks like it means that.
Right.
Today, what we're going to do is something a little bit different. We're going to say, okay, we've heard the parable, and it's got several elements. It's got the sheepfold, the sheep, the door of the sheepfold. You got thieves and robbers in there. You got the doorkeeper. You got the shepherd, and you got a stranger.
Okay.
What do all these things mean? Let's just list off what we believe these mean in the parable, and then as we go through our conversation this morning, we'll key in on each one as they come up.
All right, sounds good.
So, the sheepfold.
The protective environment of the Jewish law.
All right, so that is something that is focused on that time of Christianity, when Christianity was really brand new.
Yes.
Okay. So the sheepfold is the protective environment of the Jewish law. The sheep. What do the sheep represent? Because typically, I know you're getting right. Like, let me answer. Yeah. I know. but typically, whenever we think of the sheep of Jesus, we think of ourselves.
We do. You're right.
But in this parable, I think it's a little bit different.
Okay.
So what is it?
The Jewish people, specifically the followers of Jesus, other sheeps appear later.
So there are other sheep, and that was where we would fit in.
Right.
But in this particular story, we think that the sheep actually represent the Jewish people of that time, specifically those who were following after Jesus.
And listening. You know, in the background,
right,
there were people in fringes that right. were just saying, what's this guy talking about?
Okay, so we've got the sheepfold mm-hmm. is the environment of the Jewish law. The sheep are the Jewish people, specifically the followers of Jesus. Now you have the door to the sheepfold.
The justification earned by fulfilling the law that Jesus claimed as his.
Now that's a little bit tough to understand, because basically it's saying the door of the fold is the justification earned by Jesus. Jesus, in his explanation, says, I am the door and I am the shepherd. So it's like, wait a minute, how can you be the door and the shepherd at the same time?
Right, right.
And so we'll get into that and take it apart a little bit. But we really think the door is sort of the living up to that Jewish law. That's the door in and out, and it does make sense. Now you have thieves and robbers in the story. What do these thieves and robbers represent?
The corrupt and hypocritical leaders of the Jewish nation.
Okay, corrupt and hypocritical leaders, and you know Jesus was surrounded by them, and especially at the speaking of this particular parable, they were right there, giving their 2 cents, 3 cents, and 4 cents, and of course contradicting Jesus at every turn.
They were.
So the corrupt and hypocritical leaders of the Jewish nation were the thieves and the robbers. Now we have a doorkeeper.
Yes, and this, we believe, is John the Baptist.
And we'll explain why once we get there. The shepherd.
Jesus.
See, now that one makes sense.
Yes.
Everybody's going to agree on that. Yes, Jesus is the shepherd, and we're all good with that. But all of these other details really help to unfold the story in what Jesus is meaning to teach. And then finally, there's a stranger.
Right. False leaders of the sheep of Jesus.
Okay, so we've got false leaders of the sheep of Jesus, and we've got all these different elements. So we're talking about the voice of Jesus, establishing the voice of Jesus as something that we should be following.
Well, the voice back then, Rick, was much different than the what we're hearing in our lives today, especially through media and disruption of life.
Yeah, and that's really the challenge, is we have a significant challenge in trying to figure out what the voice of Jesus is, because look, back then there weren't all these denominations of Christianity. There was Jesus.
Yep.
And there were the apostles.
Yep.
And they all pretty much worked together.
Mm-hmm.
So you had, when you looked at the Christian sect, if you will, you saw all of that in one nice, neat package. Now, when you look at Christianity, what you see is a massively splintered, not even a package, but splintered factions of this, that, and the other thing. So where is the voice of Jesus in all of that? We got to figure that out. We have to make sure that we are trying to find and follow really what the voice of Jesus really truly is. So we can begin to distinguish the voice of Jesus in several steps by unfolding the parable. Before we do that, though, let's get a reminder of what we're battling with in our quest to hear Jesus' voice. We're going to go to a first soundbite, and this is a shortened commercial for Hulu. We're not doing advertising for Hulu. I just want to tell you right off the bat. But this, to me, epitomizes, like you were talking about, the noise and the static mm-hmm. and the things going on in the world around us. So let's listen to the shortened version of this Hulu commercial.
Come here. It's time for a little Compton Dennis meeting. Your parents were right. Your teachers were right. Even that creepy scoutmaster with the tight brown shorts was right. TV is slowly rotting your brain and turning it into a slimy, gooey, mushy blob of pudding, and there's nothing you can do about it. See? I just told you what was happening, and you're still watching TV. Amazing. But this whole slowly part is getting to be a real problem. Now I need you to take your stubby little human fingers and hit this button on Hulu. Then you can share those TV shows and your bliggity blogs and your facey spaces and your Tweety pages for all your bookwormy anti-boob-to-be friends. So here's the deal. Help us churn their finely cultured skull beef down to the aforementioned pudding, and we'll slurp out yours last. Eh? Yeah. Because we're aliens. And you ain't soup yet, Hulu.
Whoa.
And you know, the amazing thing about that commercial is the message that it takes a real factual message, makes a joke out of it, and then capitalizes on it and says, this is good. It says,
it's blatant. It's right in your face.
Yeah, it says, look, TV's turning your brain to mush. We all know that. Yeah, but it's slowly,
watch more.
Yeah, it's saying it's slowly turning your brain to mush. We don't want it to be slowly. We want to turn your brain to mush much faster. And further, we want those who are not watching TV to get their brains turned to mush too, so help us do that.
Unbelievable.
And it's funny, quote unquote funny. But it is sad because what it is showing us the power of media in our lives that really diminishes the things that we can and should stand for. So,
wow.
There's
That's
a lot
unbelievable.
To this. So, folks, we're talking about how do you find the voice of Jesus? If you have a thought, we'd love to hear from you at 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern, 6 to 8 Central. And that means we're on right now.
Christian Questions, a weekly habit that's good for you. Thanks for tuning us in every Sunday morning. Join our conversation any day or time at ChristianQuestions.com.
Okay, so we've heard a little bit of a blast from what media does and how media works. And if you noticed in the commercial, you know, you had all this background noise and all this stuff going on. It's overstimulation.
Yes, exactly.
The voice of Jesus is not about overstimulation.
No, it's not.
It's about a quiet, sensible voice of reason and direction and focus.
Yes.
On something higher.
It's a still, small voice.
It's a very different kind of thing. So, how do we know the voice of Jesus? Well, we have several points on this as we go through the program. You know it's the voice of Jesus when the message is just, righteous, and for the true benefit of the sheep.
Absolutely.
Okay, so how do we know that? Let's go back to the parable, John chapter 10, verses 1 and 2.
Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep.
Okay, so you have that. That's the parable. Now remember, the listeners of the parable didn't get what Jesus was saying.
No, they didn't.
So a few verses later, Jesus basically repeats the parable, adds some detail, and adds a whole bunch of explanation. Okay? So let's go to John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10.
So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
So Jesus is saying, you know, and he says something very weird here. I am the door.
He nailed that,
yeah.
Right?
So you think, again,
a description.
How can you be the door and the shepherd at the same time?
Yeah.
And it's different aspects of what Jesus is and does. So he says that, you know, this is the way we find real true value in life is you've got to go through me.
And there's a thief. There's an enemy here
right.
that he's battling. And you've got to know how the enemy works.
And it says, all who came before me are thieves and robbers. And that's why when you look at the thieves and robbers that, okay, you've got the leaders of the Jewish law.
Right. They're teaching the law to the congregations.
And they were being very self-serving in that.
Yes.
Not serving of God the way Jesus was. And we know that because not only at Jesus' time was that happening, but when you look at the picture of shepherding the flock, shepherding Israel, back in the Old Testament, you had the same issue. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 2 and 3.
Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock.
So the troubles of leadership within Israel were nothing new at Jesus' time.
No, that's for sure.
They had been going on for a long, long time before that. So we see that all of this begins to fit together, and that's why Jesus is giving this particular parable, because he's saying to them, look, you've got to listen to a strong voice, the right voice, the authentic voice, so you can be led in the right direction and not listen to the thieves and the robbers.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, can you recognize his voice? Coming up, what about the New Testament Christians? Were they challenged in trying to hear Jesus' voice? And what about today? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, can you recognize his voice? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern and 6 to 8 Central. That means we're on right now. And our website, christianquestions.com. And don't forget, we have a free app for your smartphone.
And it's a great service, the app. You go to your app store and download that. And you can listen live through the app. You can message us during the program through the app.
Now, that's awesome.
That messaging only works during the actual live broadcast.
Gotcha.
All right, so if you want to make a comment, you're a little bit bashful about getting on the phone, we'd love to hear from you, you know, voice-wise. But if you want to just give us a message, type it in, you know, through the app, send it. And if we can get that comment in and we can fit it in, we will certainly do so. So Jonathan, as we continue, we're talking about listening to and listening for the voice of Jesus and recognizing the voice of Jesus.
And it was hard back then for the new Christians to understand. Now, they didn't have the Holy Spirit.
Right. Well, right at Jesus' time, but even
right
after, there was a challenge. But
before we get to that,
you got to ask the question. You know, Jesus speaks this parable about the sheep and the shepherd, and we're saying, you know, it's focused on the Jewish nation. And a lot of times you look at that and say, well, how come it's not, you know, Christians? And it's about being called out of the Jewish nation to follow Christ.
Well, that must have been hard.
Yeah, and why would Jesus have given that particular parable? And the answer is the event that happened right before it caused him to tell that story. So what's the event? We're going to go through that event as we go through the parable throughout the program and look at how it unfolds, and you're going to see the reason that Jesus had to illustrate what was happening.
That's interesting. So you had to go back to the context.
Yes.
Before the parable. Okay.
Right. So we go back to John chapter 9. The entire ninth chapter of John is the event before. So we're going to start with John 9, verses 1 through 41. We're going to break it down into little pieces. John chapter 9, we're going to do verses, 1 and 2 here first?
1 through 3.
1 through 3. I knew that.
As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him.
And, Jonathan, I think that there is a point in this. Now, Jesus is about to perform a miracle.
Yes.
And his answer is, this man was born blind so I can show you something great.
And bring glory to God, his Father. Yes.
So how does this help us recognize the voice of Jesus?
Well, we can recognize the voice of Jesus by observing the pure good of his message.
So he took a bad situation and capitalized on it to bring glory to God.
Yes.
There was pure good to be brought out of this.
Absolutely.
And you think, okay, Jesus is going to perform this miracle. This guy was born blind. He's going to heal him. Who could criticize such a thing?
Exactly.
Well, just wait. Just wait. So now, as we begin, again, to continue to unfold the parable and the lesson of recognizing the voice of Jesus, let's go to another soundbite. This is from ASAP Science, and it's really, really fascinating because it's talking about social media. Now, everybody loves social media, but it's talking about how social media actually changes the way your brain works.
Really?
And you may not love that part so much, but most of us don't even realize it. So let's listen.
With social media sites being used by one-third of the entire world, they've clearly had a major influence on society. But what about our bodies? Here are five crazy ways that social media and the internet are affecting your brain right now. Can't log off? Surprisingly, 5 to 10% of internet users are actually unable to control how much time they spend online. Though it's a psychological addiction as opposed to a substance addiction, brain scans of these people actually show a similar impairment of regions that those with drug dependence have. Specifically, there's a clear degradation of white matter in the regions that control emotional processing, attention, and decision making. Because social media provides immediate rewards with very little effort required, your brain begins to rewire itself, making you desire these stimulations.
So your brain begins to rewire itself because you're so used to the instant gratification.
That's scary.
That you can't wait, and so you need more of it. And obviously, because it's instant gratification, you always need more and always need more because it has to come quickly.
It's an addiction.
And so it literally changes the way you think.
Wow.
Again, it's noise. It's noise. It's not the voice of Jesus. So that's an important aspect of this. Now, you know, you were talking about early Christians finding the voice of Jesus.
Sure.
There were two segments of early Christians in Christianity. There were Jewish Christians
mm-hmm.
that came out of the Jewish nation to follow Jesus.
From the law.
And then there were Gentile Christians that came from the pagan nations surrounding right. to follow Jesus.
Sure.
I will submit to you that it was easier for the pagan converts to Christianity to find the voice of Jesus than it was for the Jewish converts to Christianity.
But didn't they have prophecies pointing to Messiah and all that he was going to do?
They absolutely did, but they also had the Jewish law, which was dominating the entire Jewish nation and Jewish culture for thousands of years. And Christianity basically said, you got to put that aside. And to do that, the Jewish law was a good thing. So why would you put a good thing aside?
And if you're always supposed to be separate from everyone else, all other nations, how do you change?
Right.
That's hard.
Yeah, yeah. And so what you have, finding the voice of Jesus was a hard task for the Hebrew Christians especially because, like we said, they'd been saturated in the law and its rituals. Paul, in the book of Hebrews, and we believe that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, is teaching them what to listen for and immediately begins the book of Hebrews with a common ground of prophecy as he introduces Jesus in the context of the Old Testament. Now, the interesting thing about the book of Hebrews
mm-hmm.
many of the Jewish Christians had a hard time with the Apostle Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was spending all his time with these non-Jewish people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't set well with them. So the Apostle Paul doesn't identify himself in writing the book of Hebrews.
That's wise.
Yeah.
So maybe more would listen.
Yeah, exactly. Because he wanted them to hear the message. The messenger wasn't important.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So he was drawing their attention. And in the book of Hebrews, in the first six verses, now this is amazing to me. He quotes from Psalm 2, verses 7 and 8. He alludes to Proverbs 8, 22 to 30. He quotes from 2 Samuel 7, 14. He quotes from 1 Chronicles 22, 10, 1 Chronicles 28, 6, from Psalm 89, 26 and 27, and Psalm 97, 7, all within the first six verses.
Whoa.
So you're going to read through those verses, and those verses are made up of all of these Old Testament scriptures. Why did he do that? Because it was what they recognized and understood.
What wisdom.
It's incredible. It's incredible. So Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 6.
God having of old time spoken unto the fathers in the prophets by diverse portions and in diverse manners, hath at the end of these days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, having become so much better than the angels, as he hath inherited a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And when he again bringeth in the firstborn into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him.
So again, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 6 is made up of many, many, many different Old Testament verses. And the apostle, is his goal for writing the epistle of Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrew Christians. This was the general letter to all Hebrew Christians.
Mm-hmm.
The object was to help them transition from listening to the voice of the law to listening to the voice of Jesus.
And finding those connections.
And finding a way to leave behind something that was good.
And valuable.
For something that was better
mm.
and necessary if they were going to be Christian.
Excellent.
Folks, how do you recognize the voice of Jesus. Give us a call. Let us know your thoughts, your questions, your insights and observations at 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern, 6 to 8 Central, and that means we're on right now.
Out from the dark ages and into the light of today, join us 24/7 at ChristianQuestions.com.
Okay, so we're running three different things here, Jonathan. We're looking at the parable.
Yep.
The parable of the sheep and the sheepfold, and Jesus is the shepherd and the door of the sheepfold.
Yeah.
We're looking at the context before that parable, why Jesus spoke it.
Right.
And then we're going to be looking at how the Apostle Paul related to the Hebrew Christians so that they could figure out the voice of Jesus and leave everything else aside.
And there's also the dilemma of the media for today, for us, and all that static and noise. How do we find the voice? So there's really four threads going through this whole program.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of moving parts here, and we really want to focus in on what's important. So let's go to John chapter 14, verses 1 through 2.
Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you.
Okay, so we've got that verse, and you know, again, it's Jesus helping us to see the important thing of what his voice is saying. So another point, based on the approach to the Hebrew Christians, another point in recognizing the voice of Jesus.
We can recognize the voice of Jesus by seeing how it fits into the context of the whole Bible, old and new.
And so many times, Christianity just focuses just on the New Testament.
That's a mistake.
And leaves the Old Testament out. The other danger is focusing so much on the Old Testament that you're not allowing the New Testament to build on it, because the Old Testament truly is a foundation.
Absolutely.
And the structure of Christianity has to have its firm footing on that Old Testament foundation. So you got to have both.
Yes.
So the voice of Jesus, and folks, look, what it really boils down to is there's lots of voices in the world, and there's lots of voices that claim to be reflecting the voice of Jesus. Are they? How do you tell? It may sound good, it may feel good, it may make you, you know, make you euphoric inside, but is it really the voice of Jesus? And what we want to do is lay out biblical principles that show us the ways to identify the voice that we're hearing, or to identify that, wait a minute, this is not the voice that I thought it was. How do you do that? Again, it's got to harmonize with all Scripture.
Yes,
that's
absolutely
what the Apostle Paul was telling the Hebrew Christians. And Jesus, just in John chapter 14, was just saying, you know, look, you believe in God, you believe also in me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. You are important to me. Stay with me.
And he's pointing forward to a glorious salvation for those that are following him.
Okay, so now we got to keep moving forward here ourselves. You know it's the voice of Jesus when there's a proper authority to lead. You've got to have the authority, otherwise you shouldn't be leading. John 10:3, back to the parable.
To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out.
Okay, so the doorkeeper opens the door, meaning the doorkeeper recognizes that the one with the authority for the sheep,
the Messiah,
has arrived.
Jesus, and the doorkeeper, we remember, is John the Baptist.
And doesn't that make perfect sense?
It does.
Because John the Baptist opened the door, literally. I like to say he paved the road for Jesus.
Uh-huh.
He set up so Jesus could go in and do his ministry. John's ministry was preparation.
Repent and get your hearts right. So that you can recognize the Messiah.
Right, right. So John the Baptist was a voice to identify the real voice of Jesus. Matthew 3, verses 1 through 3.
Now in those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.
And you know, it's interesting, we don't have a John the Baptist now. You know, the work of John the Baptist was for the Jewish people, to get them to really focus on going back to the law and recognizing the value of the law, and then Jesus was going to build on that foundation. But we still need, in principle, the John the Baptist message today.
You're right. Absolutely.
Because you can't get to the real voice of Jesus unless your heart is in the right place.
Good point.
And right now, there's too much mess going on. Let's go back to ASAP science on the five crazy ways that social media changes our brains. Remember, in the first soundbite we listened to, it talked about less white matter in our brains, our attention span shrinking, and all of that. Let's hear what they have to say next.
We also see a shift when looking at multitasking. You might think that those who use social media or constantly switch between work and websites are better at multitasking, but studies have found that when comparing heavy media users to others, they perform much worse during task switching tests. Increased multitasking online reduces your brain's ability to filter out interferences and can even make it harder for your brain to commit information to memory. Like when your phone buzzes in the middle of productive work. Or wait, did it even buzz? Phantom vibration syndrome is a relatively new psychological phenomenon where you think you felt your phone go off, but it didn't. In one study, 89% of test subjects said they experienced this at least once every 2 weeks. It would seem that our brains now perceive an itch as an actual vibration from our phone.
Now that's disturbing. I'm sorry. Phantom phone vibration?
Actually, I have felt that. And I think it's the radiation for the phone hurting my leg. But I actually often, as I do my thing throughout the week, it happens to me. I'm like, nothing happened. The phone didn't turn on. What am I doing?
Well, you know, and it's so easy to be distracted with social media and with all of the things that we have literally available at our fingertips. And I know I have that problem. And there are many times when I'm doing my preparation work for a radio program, you know, I get really focused and intent on the subject matter. But sometimes my mind starts to wander and, you know, and I'm working on a computer.
Uh-huh.
And it's really easy to go check to where your mind wandered to.
Oh.
And so there are several times during my preparation time where I say, wait a minute, wait, put my hands up. I get up and I walk away just for a minute and I come back and start over because...
Reset.
Yeah.
Reboot.
Because you get distracted and when you get distracted, you can't find the truest value that's waiting to be found.
Nice.
It's just there. It's waiting to be found. Let's find it. So let's go back again real quickly to John the Baptist here, Matthew 3:11.
As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. And I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
So we can recognize the voice of Jesus through other voices. John the Baptist is an example here. Just be sure about those other voices. His message was to bring the Jewish people to be able to recognize Jesus when he showed up on the scene.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, can you recognize his voice? Coming up, what about the voices we trust? How can we know they represent Jesus? Has tradition changed the tune? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, can you recognize his voice? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. Or message us on your app. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern and 6 to 8 Central. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
So, Jonathan, we're talking about recognizing the voice of Jesus. And in the world in which we live, it's a hard task because there's too much noise, there are too many distractions, and even representations of what are said to be the voice of Jesus may not in fact be the voice of Jesus.
Wow.
So it
how do we do it?
Well, it takes a lot of work. It really takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of focus. And, you know, we've been talking about at the end of the last segment, you know, it's the voice of Jesus when there's proper authority to lead. And Jesus had the proper authority. John the Baptist showed us that. And, you know, of course, he was fulfilling prophecy and all of that. So Jesus had and used the authority of being the Messiah to be a light and to bring signs to the people, because the Jewish people were all about seeing signs.
Absolutely.
Okay? So let's go back to the context before the parable. Remember, there's the man who had been born blind, and his disciples ask him, you know, who sinned that this man is blind? And Jesus' response was, look, he's blind so God's glory can be shown. And so let's see what happens.
We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent, that he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before he was as a beggar began to ask, is this not the man who used to sit and beg?
So Jesus performs this miracle in a very unusual way. It's different. Usually he just proclaims something
yes,
that happens.
Yes.
But this, he made the man go do something very specific.
Mm-hmm.
So the voice and the actions of Jesus command this glorious miracle. Now, everybody should be celebrating. It's like,
absolutely.
Yeehaw, look at this.
That is wonderful.
You can't get better than giving someone sight who never, ever had it.
Oh, amazing.
What happens? We'll get to that in a little bit. Let's also now go back to, and again, that's the voice of Jesus. So the voice of Jesus spoke through not only his words, but his actions.
Yes.
And he was showing them what the kingdom of God is going to look like in the future. That's what his voice was describing. It was describing the greatness of what his messiahship would bring, not only to the Jewish people, but to the whole world of mankind. So back to the Hebrew Christians. Remember, the Apostle Paul in the first six verses just used all Old Testament scriptures to get their attention. Okay, he continues by prophetically in Hebrews comparing angels to Jesus, Jesus being the only Son of God. Hebrews 1, 13 and 14.
But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are not all angels spirits in the divine service sent to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?
So the Apostle Paul, and actually read Hebrews 2, 5 as well.
For not unto angels did he subject the world to come, whereof we speak.
So the Hebrew Christians understood angels.
Oh, yes.
Because in the Old Testament, you have a lot of angelic intervention with this, that, and the other
that's
thing.
Right,
you know,
that's
delivering
right.
messages of God. So what he's saying to them is, he's saying, okay, you've got the angels. That's some one thing. But then you've got Jesus. That's another thing. Okay?
Yep.
And so you've got those two different things happening, both at the same time. And he's saying, this is higher. This is bigger. This is better. So what's the recognized Jesus lesson here?
It is, we can recognize the voice of Jesus through the brightness of all that he stood for, the good and salvation of mankind.
And the fact that he was above the angels. He was different than the angels.
Higher. Yes.
Right. Right.
Yes.
So the Hebrew Christians needed to understand that because they couldn't hear it. They couldn't hear his voice because they were so focused on the law. And you can understand that. They were focused on something good. In this world, we're not.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, but we both have the same problem.
We
how,
do.
How do you get to the clear, unadulterated voice of Jesus? It's in our day, how easy is it to embrace this? It's not at all easy. Ephesians 6, 10 to 13 is a good example of that.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm.
So, in the letter to the Ephesian Christians, the apostle is saying that, look, our struggle is not just against other people and other things going on in our world. It's against things that are higher than our world. It's against the things that are bigger than us, that are stronger than us, that are smarter than us, and that are everywhere. How do you fight that battle? And he goes on to say, put on the whole armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you want to get to the real voice of Jesus, you have to realize that the enemy is far bigger and stronger and more powerful than you.
And Rick, there are many wrong powers and paths that we could take.
And there are many that also, I would say, and you might not like this, but you know, there are many of those powers and paths that take on the name of Christianity, but do not represent the work of Christianity. You got to be careful when you're dealing with all of these things. Again, it's getting to the real voice of Jesus. How do we find it in our daily lives? Jonathan, let's go to the phones.
All right, well, we have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Gentlemen, good morning to you.
Thank you.
I am motivated to call you your program because I hear the voice of Jesus. I'm so grateful for that. Now, going back to John the Baptist a moment, I think the way I interpret, I understand the scriptures and the interpretations thereof is you, every Sunday morning, do a John work.
Oh, try
John
hard.
The Baptist, because you're pointing to the Lord Jesus. I believe that. And then remember a week or two or a program or two ago, I shared Matthew 13:16 with you where it says, blessed are your eyes
for
you hear, for they see, and your ears for they hear the voice. The miracle in Matthew chapter 16. Remember when the Lord Jesus was identified by Peter? But whom do you say that I am? And what Peter say? Thou art the Christ.
Right.
How did Peter know that? Where did he hear that? It took a miracle. The Heavenly Father revealed it to him because Peter was willing to listen, and he uttered those miraculous words. And finally, this has to be one of the most electrifying, dramatic scriptures in the whole Bible, one of them. John 20:16, when Mary heard the voice of the Master, Mary, what a privilege for her to have been there with the Master. God bless.
Thank you, Julius. Appreciate your call.
Good day.
You know, and the interesting thing about that last scripture is, you know, Mary recognized it immediately.
She did.
And, of course, that she had heard the physical voice of Jesus, so she recognized it. But we should be able to recognize the content of what makes up the voice of Jesus.
And I love the point that we're talking about. The good of what Jesus did, and he was showing the salvation of mankind. Now, you wanted to mention something about next week's program.
Yeah, you know, next week, Jonathan, we're doing a program on hell and hellfire. There's no other way to describe it. And the reason we're doing that program is we did a program several weeks ago about the nature of the human soul.
Right.
And I got a very long email from a somewhat disgruntled listener saying that, you know, you didn't mention all of these other scriptures that show something different than what you were saying. And he mentioned several scriptures that have allusions to fire and weeping and gnashing of teeth and all of those things.
Okay.
And of course, we didn't discuss those scriptures because that wasn't the subject matter that particular week.
Mm-hmm.
But I wrote back to the listener and said, okay, look, we'll do a program on it, and I will use every single scripture that you sent to me because we want to put them on the table.
Absolutely.
And we want to talk about it. So, folks, if you're hearing some things and you say, it doesn't make quite make sense to me, let us know. You can email us at rick@christianquestions.net. You can send us messages, you know, all kinds of different ways through Facebook and everything else. And let us know, because your input is valuable and important in establishing what we're talking about. And if you want to say, look, it doesn't make sense to me because this scripture says that, bring it. We want that. That's what this is about. Jonathan, let's get back to another soundbite here quickly here about distracted thinking. This is from Epifio. Again, we found this on YouTube. What is the internet doing to our brains? And again, that's a disturbing thing when you hear that title. So let's listen.
It's an incredibly information-rich environment that the net creates for us, and that's why we use it so much. I mean, sounds, pictures, words, text. And what this tends to do is promote a sort of compulsive behavior in which we're constantly checking our smartphone, constantly glancing at our email inbox. We're kind of living in this perpetual state of distraction and interruption.
Which is dangerous, because
that mode of thinking crowds out the more contemplative, calmer modes of thinking.
And that focused, calm thinking is actually how we learn. It's a process called memory consolidation.
And that means the transfer of information from our short-term working memory to our long-term memory. And it's through moving information from your working memory to your long-term memory that you create connections between that information and everything else you know.
So, and Jonathan, basically what they're saying is our long-term memory is getting all screwed up.
Wow.
And that's disturbing.
That is.
Because if we can't take the masses of information and filter it out and commit some of it, the important things, to the long-term memory, we're not going to hear that voice. We're not going to hear that right voice because it doesn't shout louder than everything else.
And that might be some of the reason why some of us are losing our memory, and we blame it on old age.
Well, you're right, and it's old age, and it's overload of media and input. So, you know, one of the ways to confirm the voices that we can trust is authentic. Again, go back to the scriptures, and Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 8 is a really good scripture that helps us to focus in on that.
I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed.
Now there is a powerful statement about recognizing the true voice of Jesus. What the Apostle Paul is saying is that, look, you have the gospel. It's a simple gospel. We've preached it to you. If I come back a year from now and come to visit you in Galatia, and I'm saying something entirely different, if you have somebody come to you who says they're an angel from heaven and tells you a different gospel, don't believe it.
Don't fall for it.
It's not the right thing. It's not the real thing. It's not reflecting
the good news,
the voice of Jesus. And so as we are 2,000 years removed from that original gospel, it's much more difficult to find that original gospel and to therefore find the voice of Jesus and to really recognize it. So the Apostle Paul is saying, look, things can look pretty dramatic.
Be careful.
Right. And you know, last week you weren't here, but we were talking about speaking in tongues.
Yes.
And that was a gift given, we believe, to the early church only. We Christians were not supposed to be speaking the tongues of angels. That was an exaggeration point that the Apostle Paul was making, and yet it sounds so big and so dramatic. And I think it's an important point to say, look, it may sound really, really good, and it may feel really, really good, but is it the real voice of Jesus? Folks, in the second hour, we're going to continue taking this parable apart, looking at the context before the reaction, the negative reaction to Jesus performing this great miracle. And again, how do we find and latch onto the voice of Jesus only? For Jonathan and Rick and Christian Questions, we'll be back again after the news and all that. But till then, can you recognize his voice? We'll be back soon. Think about it.
This is Christian Questions.
Ann Landers once said, opportunities are usually disguised as hard work, so most people don't recognize them. Kind of like the voice of Jesus. It's hard work to find that. Folks, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, what is that topic this morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, can you recognize his voice? And our theme text is found in John chapter 10, verse 3. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out.
So we're talking about this parable that Jesus spoke in John chapter 10, and we're looking at it from the standpoint of what does it mean? What does it mean to recognize be sheep and recognize the voice of the shepherd?
Jesus.
And we're looking at the different kinds of sheep that were in there, and we're going to expand on that in this hour. And we're also looking at the reason Jesus spoke this parable is the event in the chapter before was he healed a man who had been blind from birth. And we've gotten to the point where he heals the man, and it's like, whoa, everybody should be celebrating, and well, let's see what happens with that.
All right.
And then we're also looking at the difficulty the Hebrew Christians had in finding the voice of Jesus because they were so indoctrinated into the Jewish law that Jesus built on the foundation of the law, and they were supposed to put the law aside, and they just couldn't. They were having a hard time.
Yep.
So
yep,
we're looking at all of the difficulties, all of the challenges in finding the voice of Jesus. And even when you have something good like the Jewish law, you have to be able to rise above to find the voice of Jesus.
That's right. And that's why this program is great for CQ Rewind, the full edition.
Yes.
Because of all these different pieces we're talking about, you can just see it clearly fall in place.
And yeah, because it's running three different stories all at once here. Jonathan, just before we get back to the story, just one really quick, and I'm going to try to make this quick, personal story, just in terms of Christian questions and so forth. Trish and I, this past Monday, had the opportunity to meet some listeners from a completely different area. They listen online, and we got to meet their family. They were driving through the area. We'd been emailing back and forth, and it was one of the coolest things ever.
How wonderful.
And folks, I tell you, you know, your input to us is just, I can't tell you how important it is to hear from you, to hear what you're thinking, how this affects you, what we can do to be better and so forth. And we got to meet this gentleman and his wife and his two children, and it was such a great time of fellowship and again trying to find the voice of Jesus.
Nice.
So we're grateful for that opportunity. Jonathan, let's set up the noise in the world.
Oh boy, here we go.
If you could have seen his face, the cringe on his face, because he knows what's coming. We're going in the first hour. We used a shortened commercial from Hulu.
Yes,
and it's crazy.
It is.
So we figured we'd use another shortened commercial from Hulu to again illustrate the point of the noise and the mess in the world around us. Let's listen.
Hello again, Earth. I'm Alec Baldwin here at Hulu with some exciting news. Now that we're beaming TV shows to your lap-based computing boxes for free, 24/7, they're finally rotting your brains, just like Mom promised they would. So keep watching. The sooner your brains are percolated into bubbly, cheesy goo, the sooner we can slurp them through your ear canals and pass them through our lower intestines. Because we're aliens, and that's what we do. Hulu.
That's gross.
How sad.
But, you know, again, he's talking about, you know, your mom always told you watch too much TV, it's going to rot your brain.
You're right.
Yeah, and that's what they're saying. She was right, and we're going to do that because we're aliens. Of course, you know, look, they're making a joke out of something really serious.
They are.
Out of our inability to think long-term the way we used to as a human race, the inability to be able to process and reason as we used to because we're so used to instant gratification, and that makes finding the voice of Jesus that much harder.
That's right.
You just can't recognize it. So let's get back to finding it, okay? We've been going through the parable kind of verse by verse. We're going to skip verse 4 in John chapter 10. I'm going to go to verse 5. We'll come back to verse 4 later because it fits with the previous context a little bit more easily. So, you know it's the voice of Jesus when the voice reflects godliness, sacrifice, and the highest form of love. That's selfless.
Giving without wanting to receive back. That is beautiful.
And you know, the previous points about, you know, it's the voice of Jesus when really need this point to really, really settle in as something very, very important. So John 10:5.
A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers.
So the true followers of Jesus instinctively know the voice of Jesus.
Yes, they do.
Are we instinctive in our knowledge of the voice of Jesus? You don't develop that instinct. It's not a feeling.
No.
It's a spiritual instinct built upon study and prayer and living a life that is Christ-like.
That's right. Jesus never taught people will be judged to damnation, or he never taught don't forgive your enemies.
Right.
He taught love and of giving, of sacrifice, right, of godliness. What's the voice telling you?
And if the voice isn't telling you those same things, then whose voice is it?
Yeah.
Those are the questions we have to ask ourselves. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern, 6 to 8 Central. That means we're on right now. We'd love to hear from you on the phone. And if you'd like to message us from your app, please do so.
Christian Questions, a voice of reason in a world that's lost its way. Keep in touch at ChristianQuestions.com.
So, Jonathan, now Jesus is talking about his followers will not follow a strange voice. He goes and explains the parable a few verses later. Let's go to John 10:12-15 on this part.
He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
So Jesus is establishing a distinct difference between himself and those who are peripheral. He's saying, I will lay down my life for the sheep. The hired hand, when the wolf comes, is just going to run.
That's right.
Okay, because they're not invested in the sheep I am. And that is a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. What's the recognition lesson here?
We can recognize the voice of Jesus by its harmony with God's love for his creation.
Okay, so, and he says, look, I know my sheep in the same way my Father knows me. And so there is that bringing down of the Father of lights, if you will, to those who follow Jesus, because the same attention and focus is given to the sheep as God gives to Jesus. That's pretty big stuff.
That's awesome.
You know, that's pretty big stuff. And he lays down his life for the sheep. All right, now, let's go back to the context before the parable. Remember John chapter 9. So far, we've gone through the story where this man who was blind from birth, his apostles or his followers asked him, you know, who sinned that this man is blind? And Jesus says,
no one sinned.
It's not a matter of somebody sinning. It's a matter of God being glorified here. Just watch, basically. I added that. And so Jesus does something. He makes this mud out of the clay of the ground and puts it on the guy's eyes, tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam and come back, and now he can see. Now, you'd think that everybody's going to go, that's amazing.
It's wonderful.
This guy can see. Well, John chapter 9, verses 14 to 22.
Now, it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see.
Okay, so he simply says, here's what happened. This is the fact of the matter.
Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath.
Okay, now think about that just for a second. He can see finally. Do they say, isn't that amazing?
They watched him beg his whole life.
And the response is, well, he did it on the Sabbath. Shame on him. That's their response.
Unbelievable. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened. He said, he is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them.
And what happens there is that, and we're going to skip some verses, and the parents basically didn't want to get involved. So they denied any knowledge of what happened. They said, look, he's a grown man. Ask him.
Right.
Okay.
His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confesses Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue.
So you can see what's happened, and Jesus is testing them. He's calling them out because the voices they were giving were the voices of thieves and robbers in this parable.
Those leaders were the thieves and robbers.
Right. And he's saying to them and to the others listening, here's a miracle. Are you going to tell me that I'm not of God because I performed this miracle on the Sabbath day? Because you're saying that you should not do any work whatsoever. And Jesus bent down and mixed the clay, you know, with the spit.
Yeah,
and
that's work.
That's work. So they were so tied up in the ritualistic focus of the law, they missed
the whole thing.
They missed what the law was there for.
The love, the miracle, the beauty of this. Awesome.
Yeah, and the fact that the law did allow for people to be helped on the Sabbath.
If needed.
Yeah. Animals could be pulled out of a ditch for crying out loud on the Sabbath. That's a lot of work. Okay, so you see the attitude was to not recognize but to bury the voice of Jesus. That's what they wanted to do. Mm. And they had this threat out that anybody who recognizes Jesus as Messiah, well, they're gonna get theirs. You know, so that's why the parents were afraid to say anything.
Unbelievable.
So again, you've got voices that are attacking the voice of Jesus, and we've got to find the real voice of Jesus and latch on to that. Just Luke 16, 14 and 15, Jesus describes this attitude of the Pharisees.
Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things and were scoffing at him. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God.
So Jesus in other places really put them in their place. This time he puts them in their place by performing that miracle and then by giving them the parable. So Jesus doesn't back down.
No, he doesn't.
But he's gentle, he's kind. while he's being direct.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the voice of Jesus. That's what we should be looking for. That's the kind of thing we should emulate, that gentleness. So when we look at the Pharisees' reaction, what's the recognition lesson here?
We can recognize the voice of Jesus, but what is it is not? It is not egotistical or childish.
Which the Pharisees were both.
Yes.
Okay, they were very egotistical. They were being childish. They were nitpicking at something great and wonderful that Jesus had done. So you can recognize the voice of Jesus by realizing what it's not. And again, in the world in which we live, that's hard to do because there's so much stuff in our world that crowds out the goodness and reality of what we're really looking for. Let's go back to ASAP Science about the five crazy ways social media changes our brains.
Social media also triggers a release of dopamine, the feel-good chemical. Using MRI scans, scientists found that the reward centers in people's brains are much more active when they're talking about their own views as opposed to listening to others. Not so surprising, we all love talking about ourselves, right? But it turns out that while 30 to 40% of face-to-face conversations involve communicating our own experiences, around 80% of social media communication is self-involved.
Isn't that interesting?
Oh.
So people love to talk about themselves, and on social media, 80% of our communication, hey, it's all about me.
Selfishness.
And yeah. How do you find the voice of Jesus in your life if you're so focused on me? Me being I, you know, not,
right.
You, don't, not
sure.
You focused on
sure.
Me, you focused on you, me focused on me.
You won't have enough time to focus on the Lord.
Right. And you won't
it's crowded
have,
out.
You don't have the attention,
yep.
Nor the desire because you feel good about being focused on yourself.
Oh.
So folks, understand how devious it is in the world in which we live and how difficult it is to really truly find the voice of Jesus. Jonathan, in the first hour we were talking about the Hebrew Christians and their challenges in finding the voice of Jesus because they relied on the law. Well, Paul in Hebrews continues to build the credibility of Jesus. Remember, he used a lot of Old Testament scriptures.
Yes.
Compared Jesus to angels. He reminds the Hebrews that Jesus was one of them, as well as having the responsibility of destroying evil and being a high priest. So he makes Jesus real to them by saying, look, he's just like you in so many ways, but has more responsibility. Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 17.
Since then the children are sharers in flesh and blood, he also himself in like manner partook of the same, that through death he might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is, the devil.
So he's just like you, and then?
Wherefore it behooved him in all things to be made like unto his brethren, and he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people.
So he's like you, similar experiences, but he's this great high priest. So what's the recognition lesson of the voice of Jesus here?
We can recognize the voice of Jesus by its familiarity with our condition.
So the Apostle Paul helps the Hebrew Christians to bridge the gap and say, look, he comes from the same kinds of things as you, same law, same experiences, but is so much more.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, can you recognize his voice? Coming up, what does the voice of Jesus call us to? Is it just believing and we're saved, or is there more? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, can you recognize his voice? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985 for all. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern and 6 to 8 Central. That means we're on right now. You can also message us on your app. And we are live Sunday mornings. And go to our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
All right. So lots to do there. Jonathan, let's get right back into this parable. It's about recognizing the voice of the shepherd. And we skipped John 10, verse 4 previous. Because, mm-hmm. You know, we just wanted to cover verse 5. It fit the previous context a little more clearly. So let's go to John 10:4.
When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice.
And the interesting thing about that particular statement is they follow him. Where? out of the sheepfold. Remember, it was the Jewish nation and the law.
Yes.
The sheepfold was representative of the law. So they follow him out of the confines of the law to following just the shepherd. They had the foundation of the law, but they needed to follow him to something bigger and better.
So there is a calling.
Yes.
And it deserved following.
Right. And again, when he explains the parable in John 10:11, that comes out as well.
I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep.
So you're being called, and you're being protected with the very life of the shepherd. That is where the voice of Jesus can be recognized. And folks, if we can just realize the value of that and take away all of the noise and all of the static and all of the everything else, then we can see what the voice of Jesus really is and what it is not.
Well, Rick, let's go to the phones. We have Randall from Connecticut. Good morning, Randall, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Happy Sunday, guys.
To you, too.
And we have James 1:23. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his own face in a mirror. The Temple of Jerusalem was a noisy, busy place. Imagine the voices, the animals for sacrifice, the sounds, the smells. But amidst all of that bustle one day, where people thought they were getting close to God, was a man who was God himself. Hebrews 4:2. The message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. We are surrounded by noise, by activity, by duties that we think we have to perform. And we may think we are getting close to God. But even more so than that day in Jerusalem, Jesus is standing next to us, God himself. Do we take the quiet to notice? Matthew 13:16. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear.
Randall, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
God bless you guys.
Take care.
You know, the amazing thing about that, you know, Randall is talking about Jesus being in their presence. And what you have is you have the actual Son of God standing in the presence of man and giving them something that came from God in heaven on high. And he took the message from heaven, and he brought it to earth as the representative. Who will go? Send me. You know, John 1:18 talks about Jesus as the only begotten Son of God. And he comes and he delivers this message in such a way for such a short time, and then he's gone. And see, Randall really nailed some things there because he talked about the noise and the bustle mm-hmm. back then.
Yeah.
And the noise and the bustle now is like 1,000 times worse. But it's the same principle. It's the same message. It's the same representative. Who will go for us? Here am I. Send me. Randall, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. So let's go back to now the previous experience that caused Jesus, or was perhaps one of the reasons that Jesus spoke this particular parable, John 9:24-33. Now remember, the Pharisees were challenging the man whose eyes had been opened for the first time in his life. Go ahead.
So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner."
So they didn't like his first answer. So they're going to ask him again. And they're now putting pressure on him, saying, "Give glory to God here. Give glory to God. Tell us." They're basically saying, "Tell us what we want to hear."
He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciple?"
I love that. This guy.
I love that too.
He's just so honest from inside out. It's awesome.
Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are the disciple of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, He is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing.
So this man, who is uneducated, unlearned in the law, because he was a beggar all of his life because he was blind, understands the voice of Jesus through the actions of Jesus.
That's right.
He understands something the Pharisees want to deny. They don't want it to be true. So in the context of when Jesus was here, again, going back to Randall's call, in the context of when Jesus was on earth, there were those who wanted to make sure you didn't hear his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And yet his voice...
And here they are.
Right, right. And yet his voice rang true with those whose hearts would be opened to it.
Like this man that the miracle was performed on.
So what's the recognition lesson here?
We recognize the voice of Jesus by the grace he gives to us to see that which we could not.
So this man who had been healed from blindness saw things differently.
With a pure heart.
Yes. Yeah, because he was the subject of an incredible miracle. And look, they're threatening him. Look, glorify God. And he's basically thinking, glorify God. My eyes have been opened. How much more can I glorify God than that? I mean, come on.
Really?
And he reasons with them. This man can't be like the rest of us because of what he did. So, again, it's, do you want to see the real voice of Jesus? Do you want to hear the real voice of Jesus? Do you want to recognize the real voice of Jesus? Or are you just content to be where you are?
Mm.
The Pharisees were content, didn't want anything to ruffle anything.
That's right.
So they put up walls around their contentment, and unfortunately it led to disaster for them.
Sad.
So let's go back to another soundbite, Jonathan, again, on the mess of the media and the noise and the distraction and what happens inside of our brains. This is from Epifio. What is the internet doing to our brains?
So you've got this awesome life-changing piece of information in your short-term memory, but then you hear that email ding and poof, there it goes. That email takes its place and you never get a chance to learn anything. All because of one distraction.
So attention is the key, and if we lose control of our attention or are constantly dividing our attention, then we don't really enjoy that consolidation process.
But I can hear it now. Someone out there is saying, what does learning matter if all the information in the world is just a Google search away? Well,
that is kind of shortchanging our intellects. If that's the way you're using your mind, just kind of searching very quickly and finding information and then forgetting it very quickly, you're never building knowledge. You're simply, you're kind of thinking like a computer.
Which means that our very humanity is at stake.
Ouch. And, you know, Jonathan, there's an important point there because they're talking about, yeah, you can search the internet and find a very quick answer to a very quick question.
Mm-hmm.
But without doing the research and without doing the reading and the thinking and
finding the why behind it.
The reasoning.
Yeah.
That's not going to stick. It's not transformative. The voice of Jesus is a transformative voice that needs to be studied and observed and meditated upon and looked upon. In our everyday life, you can't follow a voice that you don't recognize or understand. You can't understand the voice of Jesus unless you really look for it and you dwell on it. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern, 6 to 8 Central, and that means we're on right now.
And the conversation continues online at ChristianQuestions.com. Contact us there with your questions or comments. Also, interact with us on our Facebook and tweet us at CQ Net Radio.
All right, let's go down Matthew 7, 12 to 14, because, again, we're looking at the voice of Jesus and how to recognize it. And, you know, you've got these Pharisees just being all about themselves and not about listening to something bigger or acknowledging something bigger than themselves.
In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it.
So Jesus is defining the law and the prophets here. And this is interesting because they're all about, the Pharisees are all about the law and the prophets, right?
Of course.
But he's saying, here's the law and the prophets, that you treat others the way you want to be treated. That's what the law and the prophets were about.
But that's not what the scribes and Pharisees were doing.
No, because Jesus was interfering with their, he was encroaching on their turf,
mm-hmm.
is what they saw. So what's the recognition lesson here?
we can recognize the voice of Jesus by its message of self-sacrifice.
So he's talking about the narrow way, the narrow gate. It's difficult to follow me, Jesus, but it's important if you are so called to do. And you've got to be able to put other things away that don't apply to your life any longer. So for us now, in the world in which we live, the mess and the noise around us is not applicable to what we're trying to become.
That's right.
Christ-like. So you've got to see through all of that and essentially put blinders on in a lot of ways, in a lot of places, in a lot of circumstances, so that you can latch onto and focus on that one quiet voice of Jesus, which in its quietness, Jonathan, is the most powerful voice you will ever hear or experience in your entire life.
But that looks strange to the people looking at you saying, what are you doing? Why are you acting different? Why are you doing that instead of this?
And that's exactly the reaction Jesus got. So there you go. That means you're on the right track. So again, let's go back to the Hebrew Christians. They had a hard time, legitimately had a hard time, because the law was ingrained in them. And, you know, we're talking about media and all that, all the noise. That's not good. The law was good.
Yes.
But they needed to rise above it to something better. So the Apostle Paul, in writing Hebrews, now reinforces the connection to the Hebrew Christians as brothers in Christ. So remember he said, you know, look, Jesus is like one of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a man just like you were.
Yep.
And experienced the same things as every man experiences. He says, and now he's talking to them about a brotherhood in Christ, and then parallels Jesus to Moses and his faithfulness. Because remember, the Pharisees just talked about, well, we're followers of Moses.
That's right.
Okay, well, let's go on with this. Hebrews 3, 1 to 2.
Therefore, brothers and sisters, holy partners in a heavenly calling, consider that Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who's faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all of God's house.
So, therefore, brothers and sisters, we're holy partners in this calling that's something bigger than us. Jesus was faithful just like Moses.
Look at that connection.
Right. And so he's taking what they know and then helping them to rise above it to something better, not rejecting what they know.
Right.
But building on what they know, because what they knew was good and righteous and just and godly.
And valuable.
Exactly, exactly. So now he makes the connection between Jesus and Moses. Now Paul begins to seriously clarify his argument by elevating Jesus over Moses. So he made the connection, and now Hebrews 3, verses 3 and 4.
Yet Jesus is worthy of more glory than Moses, just as the builder of the house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God.
So you have the sense that Jesus is higher than Moses. So Jesus is elevated. They're doing the same kind of leadership work, but Jesus is at a higher level. Paul labels his clarity the house of servants and the house of sons. There's something else that is really, really important here. Hebrews 3, verses 5 through 6.
Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things which would be spoken later. Christ, however, was faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if we hold firm the confidence and the pride that belong to hope.
So there's a difference between Moses and the work that Moses did, and Jesus and the work that Jesus did. Moses was the house of servants, that is what's called here,
mm-hmm.
and Jesus is the house of sons.
Yes.
And we are called to be sons of God.
Not servants.
Just like Jesus.
Wow. What a privilege.
But again, it's following that voice, and you've got to hear it. It's a quiet voice. But it's a powerful voice in the midst of all of these things. And so the apostle is showing the Hebrew Christians, what you have and what you have had is really good. But let's build on that to get something much better, much bigger, much stronger. Jonathan, before we close this segment really quickly, we just got a call from Roxy from Florida. And her message was, she didn't want to go on the air, but she said she loves the programs, listens every week. So Roxy, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it very, very much, and keep on listening. So what's the recognition lesson here?
We can recognize the voice of Jesus by its elevation to the standard of sonship.
So, again, it's higher than everything else around it. It's not louder, but it is more direct, it's clearer, and it's higher than everything else around it.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, can you recognize his voice? Coming up, what does the voice of Jesus give us? Is it a feeling? Is it a gift? Or is there more to it? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, can you recognize his voice? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. Or you can message us on your app. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern, 6 to 8 Central. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
So, Jonathan, as we go through this parable of Jesus being the shepherd and the door, remember, he was the door of the sheepfold and the shepherd in the parable. And he's like, how can you be both? And remember, the sheepfold represented the Jewish law.
That's right.
And it held the sheep. It would protected them until Jesus came. He was the door. He was the fulfillment of the law so they could be led out of the jurisdiction of the law.
That's
to,
right.
To something higher.
And John the Baptist was the doorkeeper and helped them to see that.
Right.
To be prepared for the Messiah.
So you have Jesus raising the bar for any of the Jewish followers that would follow him out of the jurisdiction of the law into the jurisdiction of the shepherd, Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
And he also taught us to be careful of the stranger, of false leaders.
Yes.
That would lead the sheep away from the true message.
Right, right. So, you know, We've actually finished the parable up to this point, but Jesus continues with the explanation beyond that. So you know it's the voice of Jesus when there's a sacrifice, the grace to broaden the call, unity and power and authority from the Father. So the parable is over, and Jesus in his explanation adds to the original parable, and he adds something really, really important, because we've been stressing throughout this whole program that the sheep were the Jewish Christian followers.
Right, that's right.
And you're like, what about me?
They were called, right?
Yes, they were.
Originally.
Absolutely. And remember, for 3.5 years before Cornelius, they were the only ones called.
That's right.
So there is a significant thing there, but Jesus expands that now. John chapter 10, verses 16 to 18.
I have other sheep, which are not of this fold.
Aha!
I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father.
So Jesus expands and says, look, I have sheep, which are not from this fold. I have followers, which are not from a Jewish background.
And you will see them later.
Right, right, right. And I also have to bring them with me. I'm
yes.
bringing you with me, and I'm bringing them with me. And all of you from these two different flocks are going to become one flock under me.
And this was God's plan from the start.
Right.
God gave me this commandment. He said, my Father gave me this commandment. I've received it. I'm following through with it.
Right. So he is doing what he is told to do in the way he is told to do it. He's fulfilling the prophecies that God gave through the Old Testament. And he's literally living the prophecies. And he's saying that there are others from another fold that are just as important that also need to learn my voice.
Awesome.
And you know, and it's interesting with sheep in one place in here, it talks about the shepherd calling sheep by name.
Mm-hmm.
Shepherds
mm-hmm.
do that. They name their sheep, and the sheep will respond to their own name.
Yes.
So there's a very personal connection and attachment shown here. Now, so we see that, you know, the Jewish and Gentile Christians are both supposed to hear only the voice of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We've also established what a challenge that is in the world in which we live. Going back to the context before the parable, remember that the Pharisees, after Jesus heals this man who is blind from birth, they get all bent out of shape.
Yep.
They question the guy who's been healed twice. And the guy who's been healed basically says, look, you know, all I know is once I was blind and now I can see.
Right. You know, that has to be from God, he's saying.
He's saying that never in all the earth has this ever happened. So let's go back to that context. And again, the Pharisees just don't want to let it rest. In John 9, 34 to 38.
They answered him, you were born entirely in sin, and you are trying to teach us? And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him."
So, again, you know that...
What a pure, simple heart. I love that.
He doesn't know what he doesn't know.
Right.
But he does know what he does know. And he knows God's glory and God's miracle through Jesus. But he isn't able to connect it all. So Jesus helps him.
Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him.
So you have this man of such a great and pure heart being given an immense privilege to follow after Jesus. And you can see that his whole heart is encompassed in the miracle that he had just received. So what's the recognition of the voice of Jesus lesson here?
We can recognize the voice of Jesus by embracing the magnitude of his purpose.
And that's the key. There is a magnitude that in the days that Jesus walked the earth as a man, the magnitude was much more than healing this person or that person. Those were just symbols to show something much bigger.
Later.
Right.
Kingdom.
Those were symbols to show thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the voice of Jesus. That's what Jesus told us to look forward to. If we want to follow him, we have to follow that voice. Let's go back to one last soundbite from Epiphio. Again, what is the internet doing to our brains? Let's listen about the critical thinking problems that we have.
I really believe that if you look at the great monuments of culture, they come from people who are able to pay attention, who control their mind. That's what allows us to think in the highest terms, think conceptually, think critically, think in some very creative ways.
And it's this kind of thinking that's at risk, being eroded one cute cat video at a time. Don't get us wrong. The internet is good for lots of things, and it should be celebrated. But the best thing we can do for our minds is to find some time every day to unplug, calm down, and focus on one thing at a time. Your email and those cats will be here when you get back.
You know, and you hear the music, the Mozart music in the background, and you think about the brilliance behind the composition of such a thing.
Oh, yes.
And you think about the focus and attention and the single-mindedness required. And that's a great lesson for us to find the voice of Jesus. It takes that focus and attention and single-mindedness. It takes that sense of being right on one target and letting all of the other things, you know, stay in the periphery. They'll be around.
You know, sure they will.
Your email will wait.
Yep.
The cute cat videos will wait. There's nothing wrong with cute cat videos. Look, Julie, our secret rewind chief there, is a real, real cat lover.
Uh-huh.
So, Julie, there's nothing wrong with cat videos.
She's glad you said that.
But understand everything in its time and in its place. First things first. Recognizing the voice of Jesus is definitely something that has to come first. Matthew 11:25-30. And Jonathan, these are great verses for helping us to latch onto the most important thing.
At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and hath revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way were pleasing in your sight."
So, you know, it's interesting. He says that you have revealed them to infants, just like the guy who had his sight given to him.
Oh, he was a perfect example of that.
Right. He didn't know much of anything from much of anything because he had not been given any kind of an education. And yet, he saw the miraculous healing of God. He recognized the hand of God through Jesus' son. And he latched onto that with wholeheartedness. And he was able to observe in his interaction with the Pharisees that, look, this man is not... he's not normal, okay? Jesus is not normal because he's doing things that only God can bless.
And he looked at those scribes and Pharisees and what they told him, and in his brain, he's like, "What is wrong with you?
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, didn't you? Do you see this?
Yeah, and are you asking me again because you want to be his follower too?
Come on, guys, wake up!"
He's trying to say. Absolutely. All right, let's get back to this verse.
"All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
So this is showing us a result of finding, recognizing, and listening to the voice of Jesus. So what's the recognition lesson here?
We can recognize the voice of Jesus by hearing his call to rest in him.
It's to rest in him.
Yes.
It's resting from the rest of the stuff and resting in Jesus. That's hard to do in this world.
It is.
Because it requires us to unplug. It
takes work.
And it
discipline.
Right. And that's really the key. It takes the discipline to unplug, to get away from it all, and to clear the clutter and just listen to his voice. But these words of Matthew 11:25-30 give us a lot to really have great hope in. Because he talks about, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, he's saying. Come, you labor, you're heavy laden. I can help you with this.
How much more peace can you get than resting in him?
And that really is the point. That was a rest that was higher than could have been offered through the law.
Yes.
For the Jewish Christians.
Oh, yes.
That he was talking to. So let's go back to Hebrews, where the Apostle Paul is helping the Jewish Christians transition from trying to rest in the law to truly resting in Christ. Paul admonishes his audience to learn from the mistakes of others based on the common base of credibility that Jesus was one of them. Jesus was a Jew. He was a man. He was on earth. He was just like them. Based on that, the commonness, there's a higher purpose here. Hebrews 4:11.
Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one may fall through such disobedience as theirs.
Enter into that rest. What rest? The rest in Jesus. So Paul cites the Christian's advantage. Jesus, as our leader, having experienced the flesh, having been man, that's what he's saying, now passed into the heavens to understand us and walk us through our trials. So he was here. He was just like us. He was flesh and bone, skin. You know, he had the passions of every human being.
He could sympathize now,
right,
completely with our fallen condition.
And we know that because the apostle describes it to the Hebrew Christians. And this is one of those things that helps them to see, aha, we really can have faith in him. His way is above our way. Hebrews 4:14-16.
Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
St. Jonathan, there's a very important aspect in this, Hebrews, for a lot of them, you know, talking about this great high priest and so forth. But it says we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses.
Yes.
You know, there's a difference between sympathizing with somebody and empathizing.
Good
when
point.
When you empathize, you look at their experience and say, I haven't been there, but I feel bad for you and,
right,
and I want to support you.
Sure.
When you sympathize, you say, I know what it feels like.
Yeah, been there, seen it.
So when we have our physical, human, earthly experiences, we can be sure that Jesus could sympathize because he was physical, earthly, and human. He had the same experiences. That's the voice you want to listen to.
You know it.
So what's the recognition lesson here as we wrap up?
We can recognize the voice of Jesus by embracing its leading us to the Father.
And that's what Jesus was about.
He pointed everything, glory to God, for everything.
That's what the priesthood did. The priesthood brought the people to the Father. The priesthood was the conduit between the people and the Father. It says here, Jesus is our high priest. Why? Because he's in between us and the Father. He joins the two so we can see the Father's purposes and principles in our lives. Philippians 3:13, brethren, I don't regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting everything behind, reaching forth to what lies ahead. The Apostle Paul is saying, I still work every day at recognizing and following the voice of Jesus because it's a lifetime work. Folks, we hope you've enjoyed being with us today. We've certainly enjoyed being with you, talking about an important parable, an important principle of letting the world go, latching on to just the voice of Jesus and letting him guide and direct your every day. For Jonathan and Rick and Christian Questions, we'll be back again next week with another subject. But till then, the voice of Jesus. Recognize it, acknowledge it, and follow it. Think about it.